Our scripture reading for today for our meditation is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would now strengthen us through them. Amen. The context of these words from God to the children of Israel take place during their great exodus, and as they're on their way, having come out of Egypt in slavery and now heading back to the promised land, during what ultimately becomes this 40 years of wandering in that desert region. And we can try to imagine the different trials and difficulties they had to face with that. And along with the physical struggle of going through this, probably maybe as many as a million people walking through that whole land for all those years, there were also great spiritual dangers that confronted them following the Exodus. I'm sure some of it was just boredom and apathy. We know that there was a lot of grumbling against God. Some of them even wanted to go back to Egypt and go back to the gods of Egypt. As they were passing through other nations or little tribes of people that they went near, they oftentimes saw very heathen practices going on with worship and things like that. And a lot of it even involved, at times would involve sexuality things that were very tempting to them and to their young people and to their children. And so there was a great difficulty for them, not only on this trip, but God foreknew, of course, as they go back into the land of Canaan, they're going to see even more of this. And so throughout Israel's Old Testament history, we see that the children of Israel are constantly being kind of sucked toward these different immoral and heathen practices. And it's a constant temptation for them that God needs to pull them back away from that. And a lot of similarities to what we see for young believers in our culture today. At the end of this text, God goes on to say this to the children of Israel. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, "What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you?" Then you shall say to your son, "We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand," and goes on to explain the Passover story. So God wanted to make sure that the history that they had just experienced would not be lost, and that these biblical stories would be passed on to their children to teach them the significance of who they are as a people, why they need to stay with God, why they need to follow his word, and it's all pointing ahead toward the great Messiah who is coming. So it's ultimately focusing them ahead on the coming Christ. And while they're facing all these threats and challenges, God is here very particularly saying, make sure you teach your kids my word. Make sure that you use this in your household, and make sure that they learn to follow the commandments of God, because it all has to do ultimately with staying with Christ so that they can go to heaven. So they certainly had to deal with outside influences from the cultures around them that were very appealing to their sinful nature. And we see that around us today, don't we? Nothing's new under the sun, okay? Believers in Christ in our world today have to deal with the same kind of garbage in the cultural milieu that's around us today in our world. And it also can come at us even in areas of not only the media, but also our entertainment world. It can kind of reach at us even through areas of higher education, not here at Bethany, but in many other places. Today, there's a growing animosity in our culture to have a blatant mockery of the Christian faith and to make Christians feel stupid and to make them feel like they're behind the times and totally out of step with reality. And if you think it's tough for your generation, just imagine what it's going to be like for your children someday. Just about every month, I have a student write to me or come in and talk to me about a friend of theirs or a relative, sometimes it's a sibling, who has now fallen away from the Christian faith and kind of fallen into the heathenistic ideas of the world. It's a constant battle and a constant struggle for God's church in the world. But again, there's nothing new under the sun. This is exactly what the children of Israel were dealing with as well. But God also here is addressing for us another potential problem that can happen inside of our homes. And that is parental hypocrisy. Parental hypocrisy. And what that means is when the parents themselves who are training and teaching the children don't really themselves follow and live according to the word of God. And so God says to them, "These words which I command you today shall be in your heart." You don't just teach these to your kids. It has to also be embedded in your heart and soul, in your mind and conscience, so that it's a living faith that comes out of you towards your children, that they can see that. God, in essence, is telling us here, make sure that your children see a sermon in your life. Your life is a visible representation, then, of God and his word to your children. In fact, God says here, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Doesn't just say teach them. Teach them diligently to your children in every part of life, in every facet of life. That's quite a task. I know I am a sinful, weak father. I did not do this perfectly. No Christian parent really does. We struggle with our own personal temptations and our own personal problems. And to have this burden of responsibility put on us to lead our children in this might be easy for some to just throw up their hands in despair. But God has the answer for us, even weak, sinful parents. God has the answer, and that is repentance and grace. Repentance and grace. Repentance first and foremost before him of whatever your sins might be, but also repentance before our children. Repentance before our children, so that our children know and understand we're not perfect. The only one who is Christ, and we need him desperately. We need him so badly, and the wonderful forgiveness and grace that he brings to us. If our sin is ever directly against our children, it is so important for us to go to them and to apologize and seek their forgiveness and connect it all back to the cross and the wonderful forgiveness that we have in our Savior. My mom was a wonderful Christian woman. It's hard for me to think of times that she sinned in front of me. She maybe did, and I didn't pay attention, but I can't really think of any single incident where my mom sinned in front of me. And yet she made it very clear through her life and how she talked to me and taught me my faith and things, she made it very clear that she needed a Savior and that she relied upon that Savior all the time. The very simple truth is this: your authority as a Christian parent will never be harmed. It will never be lessened when you admit to your children how much you need Christ. It will only enhance your authority. The Passover lamb was to be the focal point in the training of these children for the children of Israel, the coming Messiah. Everything about their history as a people was tied up in how this lamb had now spared them, as a wonderful picture of how the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus, by his blood shed for us, has protected us from the judgment of God on the great day of judgment. And in the same way that the children of Israel were to sit down and to explain this to their kids and to make sure that they got it and that they understood it, may we also, as future Christian parents for many of you, make sure to sit down with your children and teach them the significance of Christ and what this means for their future. One last thing. Notice how thoroughly the Word of God is to permeate family life. It's supposed to just go everywhere. This passage is amazing, isn't it? When you rise up, when you lie down, bind them as a sign on your hand, all these different places. It's supposed to be everywhere. It's not just something you do on Sunday morning. And I would strongly urge you, as you establish a Christian home in your future, to use family devotions. When I think back on the 5 minutes we would spend after supper every night in our family devotions, I think of it now, even though I wanted to go play baseball a lot, but I think of it now as a Christ filter. It filtered my life. It filtered my relationships. It filtered my thinking and how I viewed life and everything through the wonderful Savior that we have. So bring the Christ filter into your future home and make sure that this becomes the most important thing that your children learn from you. What a blessed God that we have, who has given us such tremendous blessings in our lives as we look forward to the greatest blessings above. Amen.